Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. You're listening to a song called Freaker by the Speaker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. And we're getting ready for a Green Bay Packers game this upcoming Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings, NFC North rival. If you haven't heard yet, the Packers are taking on a rookie quarterback from the Vikings, Christian Ponder. More on that later. How's everybody doing this fine Wednesday morning? Let's get right to it. If you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags Cheesehead TV, please feel free to tweet us and it'll show up on our live blog or your comments are being approved. If you scroll to the top of the live blog, I left a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links. It's kind of our roadmap for the show. And top story today, quarterback Aaron Rodgers was nominated for the AIR NFL Player of the Week. According to the press release right from the Packers website, quote, Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers threw for 310 yards, three touchdowns, and an interception in the Packers' 24-3 win over the St. Louis Rams. His 119.6 passer rating was the highest of any quarterback on Sunday. Kind of amazing once again, isn't it? Is another one of those games where it's almost average by Aaron Rodgers' standards, but still good enough to be nominated for the AIR NFL Player of the Week. You know, he threw an interception, although it was on a tipped pass, or one that was, you know, went off the hands of Greg Jennings. And it's Aaron Rodgers, you know, never ceases to amaze me. Every game this year, a passer rating over 110. Every single game, all six. I don't know if he's capable of a poor game anymore. I mean, he just always seems on top of it. I mean, he is without a doubt the Packers MVP this year. There's a article later on in the Packers Daily Links, if you scroll down, a column from Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette saying Aaron Rodgers is the early front runner for the NFL MVP. And I don't think that there's any doubt that Aaron Rodgers is going to win the NFL's MVP award. I mean, I suppose an injury would stop it. But I mean, even a poor performance or two at this point, he's still far and above everybody else. I mean, literally every game. And that's why the Packers are so good. It seems like every other player on the roster could have a bad game here and there, and they have. Charles Woodson has, you know, had a poor game. Clay Matthews has been held without sacks for many games, although he hasn't, as we've talked about many times before, hasn't exactly played poorly. Tremont Williams is injured. I mean, these are some of the best players on the team we're talking about here. And you know, but Aaron Rodgers is on top of it every game, and that's why the Packers are undefeated. I mean, when the most important position on the team is playing well, the quarterback, I mean, undoubtedly, quarterback is the most important position in football. You need top play there. It's unbelievable that just the impact the quarterback has on the game to the extent that the quarterback does. I mean, it almost seems to me that, I mean, it's almost unfair that, you know, a quarterback shouldn't have to be the whole team, or the outcome of a game shouldn't have to ride necessarily on the shoulders of a quarterback. But it so frequently does. I mean, at least in the NFL. I mean, sometimes in the college game, you can rely on a running back now and again. We saw, if you're a Wisconsin sports fan, I mean, you saw how the Wisconsin Badgers relied on Ron Dayne, and that's almost like an exception to the rule. It's quarterbacks. I mean, if you don't have a good quarterback, you don't have a good team. So anyhow, let's take a look at other news of the day. of course, the big news coming out of yesterday, the Vikings have announced, or, well, the Vikings themselves haven't announced, but news has leaked. News has been promoting the fact, I suppose, that the Vikings are going to start a rookie at quarterback, first-round draft choice Christian Ponder. And I left a link to the JS Online, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, when beat writer Ty Dunn wrote this. Quote, Minnesota is starting rookie Christian Ponder, who has a grand total of 21 snaps on his NFL resume. That temptation to blitz may run high. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit. We're coming off a game where the Packers, you know, blitzed a little bit more than usual. And I thought it was really interesting to read Bob McGinn's take on the game, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, veteran beat writer, you know, obviously a respected beat writer. And the things he points out that, you know, A.J. Hawk, ever since like the first game of the year when he was exposed in coverage against Darren Sproles, you know, they've been, you know, kind of taking him out of the coverage game and blitzing him a lot more. And A.J. Hawk is not a speed demon in coverage or the blitz, but I mean, he can really be exposed on in coverage, whereas Desmond Bishop a little less so. And so they're blitzing A.J. Hawk a lot. And this past week, obviously, he came a lot and got a sack and played very well and really, you know, did a very good job this past weekend against the Rams. A.J. Hawk's undoubtedly his best game of the year, I would say. And you know, here they are facing a rookie quarterback, an average offensive line for the Minnesota Vikings. You would think that the blitz might come as well, you know, from everywhere. I mean, they're going to blitz Charles Woodson a lot. And, you know, at least while the game is still, you know, in question, at least. I mean, if the Packers happen to get up by a ton or something, they'll play more conservatively, obviously. But yeah, I could see the pass rush coming, blitzes from all over the place. Haven't seen a lot of safety blitzes lately. Just come to mind as we're talking about blitzes here. But they started off the season using the safety blitz quite a bit, bringing Nick Collins. And you know, that's probably the reason maybe they're not bringing the safeties so much, is because Nick Collins isn't playing anymore. And, you know, he was probably the best guy to bring among the group back there in the secondary. If you want to talk about the Packers blitz, Christian Ponder, Aaron Rodgers, please feel free to call into the show. The phone number is area code 646-797-2909. By all means, you want to talk Packers, please dictate the discussion, and we'll talk about what you want to talk about. So, you know, talking about the blitz here and against an average Vikings defensive line, isn't it amazing how far they've fallen, their offensive line? I always remember they used to be so good. I mean, Steve Hutchinson, I mean, was a beast, and you know, he's an all-pro and one of the best offensive linemen in the NFL at one time, and now he's kind of getting older and is fading quite a bit. But, I mean, I always remember the Vikings offensive line being so good, and now they're just adequate, average, maybe even below average. And it's a shame. I mean, when you got a running back like Adrian Peterson back there, I mean, I bet the Vikings wish they had a better offensive line so, you know, he could do better. But so Packers going to blitz this Sunday. That's what, you know, Ty Dunn thinks, or, you know, as at least says Packers will be tempted by it. I tend to agree. And, you know, it could be that way. Comment from Bobby on the live blog. Seems like we probably wouldn't have to blitz. Not afraid of any Vikings receivers not named Percy. And there's that side of it as well. I mean, the Vikings are a team that, you know, don't have a lot of weapons. You know, or at least, you know, it's... They don't have a full team. I mean, they have Percy Harvin, they have Adrian Peterson, but the supporting cast isn't the greatest. And who knows? I mean, maybe Christian Ponder's what they're looking for. I mean, it's really kind of hard to tell at this point, the impact he's going to have. I mean, we only have so much film to go on Christian Ponder by. In fact, I believe Mike McCarthy said in one of his press conferences, or maybe it was one of was Dom Capers, perhaps, I forget, but saying, you know, they're going to prepare for Christian Ponder, and what they're going to do is look at the game film from this past week when he played in the second half a little bit and some mop-up time. That's the only regular season film they've gotten. Otherwise, they'd just have to look at preseason film, and we all know how preseason doesn't mean much, although, I mean, it's better than nothing, I suppose. So, I think the Packers will blitz when, you know, the game is in question. You know, it's still close early in the game in key places. And you know, they saw success with it this past week against the Rams. You know, getting three sacks. And you know, three sacks from guys that don't normally get a lot of sacks, guys like A.J. Hawk, guys like Charles Woodson. You know, normally it's guys like Clay Matthews, and I know he got one as well, but, you know, it's the outside linebackers who are getting sacks, or B.J. Raji. So they're seeming to have a little bit of success with that. You know, just bringing to mind here, I mentioned B.J. Raji. How about him this year in the pass rush? Been kind of absent. I think B.J. Raji, if I'm correct, has one sack on the season, whereas last year he had 6.5, which was a very, very high number for a nose tackle. And I think it was like the second highest total among nose tackles. Was it in history? I believe, perhaps. So, I mean, there's kind of, and now they've moved Raji out to end at times. I mean, him and Ryan Pickett are kind of splitting times at the nose tackle, at least when they're in the 3-4, and you kind of thought maybe that's going to open things up for him. But yeah, just, you know, B.J. Raji not getting a whole lot of sacks this year. Kind of interesting that he's not getting there quite as often when you expected that he would. Not that B.J. Raji is playing poorly by any means. I mean, he's still the anchor of that defensive line, the glue that holds it together, him and Ryan Pickett, at least. Well, Ryan Pickett in the run game more so, you're never going to get much of a pass rush out of him. But, you know, I expected more pass rush from B.J. Raji, and maybe it'll come. Maybe it'll come. I refer to Bob McGinn here. I think he wrote in his game review that perhaps it's time to, you know, reduce B.J. Raji's snaps. You know, he's getting tired, and maybe he'll, you know, start to produce a little bit more if he gets a little bit more rest, a little more rotation along the defensive line. So there's that. Elsewhere in today's Packers Daily Links, if you scroll down a little bit, a feature article on the inside linebackers and how they're working so well together. We had mentioned Hawk and Bishop earlier, but this article coming from Lori Nickel of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, she writes, quote, "The Packers' most recent victory against the St. Louis Rams demonstrated the symbiotic play between Hawk and Bishop and how it can hold a weak opponent to a field goal. Hawk had 19 pressures in one of his best blitzing games, which also yielded a sack." Yeah, I thought that the Packers' inside linebackers had just been playing average prior to this game six. But, I mean, here's where they really, you know, started playing well was this past week against the Rams. In my opinion, I look for inside linebackers. I mean, anybody can rack up a ton of tackles. You know, I think it's good when they are getting impact plays, they are getting sacks, they are getting turnovers. And that's what, you know, we started to see a little bit this past Sunday when Hawk was blitzing a lot and had a sack on Sam Bradford from the Rams. Comment on the live blog, going back to the defensive line discussion here, Taryn for 12 commenting, "The reason is win and perhaps missing Neal." And certainly, you know, you know, having Neal would perhaps open things up for a B.J. Raji to be more successful. And Wynn himself has been pretty good on the defensive line and, you know, providing a pass rush himself. Slowing down a little bit. You know, Jarius Wynn got off to such a hot start early in the year, you know, got 3 sacks in, what was it, the first 4 games, perhaps? And now he's kind of tailed off a little bit. And again, not that Jarius Wynn is playing poorly, but, you know, the sacks have tailed off. And now it seems to be he's sharing more time with C.J. Wilson, who it seems like he's improving his game little by little every week. He just seems to be improving a little bit more. He got off to a slow start on the other hand, and you know, I think C.J. Wilson was kind of impacted by an injury during the preseason and training camp that kind of limited his effectiveness. But anyway, going back here to the inside linebacker talk with Hawk and Bishop, and you know, I, coming from the fan perspective and just an observer of the Packers and wanting them to do well, you know, I'd like to see impact plays come from those guys. You know, it's good to see sacks. It's good to see, you know, creating turnovers, whether it's interceptions, it's forced fumbles, or it's fumble recoveries. I think those good inside linebackers do those kind of things, and hopefully they can play up to the same level that we saw against the Rams that I thought definitely was their best game of the season. I had noticed Desmond Bishop is number 3 in the NFL in tackles, total tackles. Pretty impressive. I mean, it's a product of the Packers defense being on the field a lot. I think, you know, the Packers get up and they can strike fast, you know, as evidenced by some long touchdowns this year by Jordy Nelson and Greg Jennings especially. And, you know, so the Packers defense is on the field a lot, and he racks up a lot of tackles. And I think he's behind in the tackle department, behind some guys from the Indianapolis Colts, who, you know, of course, they're not having a very good season, and their defense is on the field a lot. But yeah, I you know, Desmond Bishop, A.J. Hawk, best game of the year this past week. They're trending upward, I suppose you could say. And, you know, it'd be good to see them, you know, continue that and continue to play at a high level. Another article in today's Packers Daily Links, a column from Mike Vandermause of the Green Bay Press Gazette, saying other NFL coaches could learn a lesson in sportsmanship from Packers head coach Mike McCarthy. You know, he talks about a time back in 2008 when Brad Childress did not shake Mike McCarthy's hand following a game, and McCarthy kind of took the high road, and you know, he McCarthy offered to shake his hand, and I think he was at midfield and never did find Childress or whatever. And something I was watching TV yesterday, and it just kind of caught me by surprise watching some programming on the ESPN family and networks. I forget what channel or what show. Sometimes their shows cross over from platform to platform, but it was actually on college football. And, you know, not, of course there was this high profile little, you know, scrum between the Detroit Lions and the San Francisco 49ers, and Jim Harbaugh, you know, acting a little too exuberant when he goes to shake hands, and Detroit Lions head coach feeling a little miffed at that. And it happened in college football this weekend too. And what game was that? I forget. There was a little post game. Anyhow, I did. It escapes me, and maybe it'll come to me. But anyway, so you know, just sportsmanship and handshakes in general are this topic of debate. And Mack Brown, the head coach at the University of Texas, obviously a football program that's under the microscope quite a bit and gets a lot of media attention. And Mack Brown is, you know, hailed as kind of one of the better coaches in all of college football, at least, and saying he's a proponent of not shaking hands after a game. And that kind of caught me by surprise a little bit. And it just, like, why would you not want to do that? I mean, he says that there's the potential there for, you know, something to happen, to escalate like it did this week, and cameras are there to capture every moment, and they're just waiting for something to happen, you know, for controversies, people to watch and ratings to rise, and, you know, controversy sells, and all those kind of things. And but I mean, isn't that what sports is all about? You know, sportsmanship and shaking a hand after the game. I mean, it's the only people kind of in football who are expected to shake hands are really the head coaches. I mean, can't they, you know, be expected to do that? I think they should be expected to and should. I mean, it's not like the players are required to go shake hands. It's not like Little League baseball and high school football where you line up in a line and go by slapping five to every player on the other team. You know, that doesn't happen at that level. Just the head coaches basically do. And I think it's a practice that should continue. I mean, it's... That's what I think. It's that shows sportsmanship. I mean, that's what sports is about. I mean, it's supposed to be a kind of a learning tool, isn't it? I mean, I realize at the professional level it's a little different, but I mean, those guys are setting the tone for you know, there's only one professional level, but I mean, there are so many high school football teams and college football teams out there, you know, to learn a lesson from the pros, that, you know, it's something that I see should continue. And anyway, that's my two cents. And tying it back to the Packers here, Mike McCarthy has always been, you know, there's never been any controversy surrounding him from a sportsmanship standpoint, from my viewpoint at least, or I can't remember any controversy where anybody has accused Mike McCarthy of not being a good sport. So kudos to the Packers in that regard. And you know, while I'm at it here, speaking of kudos, just if you haven't seen this morning's Packer Daily Links, again, I left a link to the scroll up to the top of the live blog there, and left two videos yesterday. Very, very nice to see Packers on their day off Tuesday. You know, usually if there's, you know, not Monday night football, or, you know, they play on a Sunday, Tuesday is their day off from work. You know, the one day a week that they really get off and can do anything they want. And on their off day, a group of players help build a playground locally in the Green Bay area. And another group went to a hospital to visit cancer patients. And I just think that's great. That's fantastic. I mean, what more could you want from the Green Bay Packers, you know, to be doing on their day off? It's such good publicity, first of all, for the team as a whole, and it shows that there really are some good guys on the team that would go out and do this on their day off instead of doing whatever they might do. I mean, it's, you know, nobody's holding a gun to their head on Tuesday on their off day telling them what to do. I mean, they might be asked to do these things, but to accept and to go there and do them and do it with a smile on their face is something else. And, you know, once again, kudos to them for doing that. And great job by the Packers organization. Once again, if you want to call into the show, the phone number is area code 646-797-2909. If you want to dictate the topic of discussion here today, by all means, feel free. You know, just trying to talk about some things that are coming to my head, to my brain. It, you know, it was interesting, not the Rams game, but the game before that, what would that be, the Falcons game. You know, there's a little bit of controversy after that game. JerMichael Finley didn't get a whole lot of catches that game in the Falcons when the week prior, you know, he was heavily targeted, if I'm correct, against the Broncos, was it? You know, caught a lot of passes. Or was it, I suppose it was it the Bears game where he really played well? But anyway, his catches have been, you know, decreasing a little bit. But against the Rams, you know, what did JerMichael Finley have? Did he have one catch on the day? And again, and not that to make a big deal out of this, but, it's just interesting to see how many weapons the Packers have on the team that this can continue to happen. And JerMichael Finley, for as good as he is, has one catch. And I suppose it's probably a good thing here. You know, of course, there's been so much attention this year to, the receiver that's not getting the amount of snaps or the amount of catches that perhaps he's gotten in the past. And, there's kind of, Mike McCarthy getting agitated with those kind of questions. And here JerMichael Finley is only has one catch against the Rams this past week. And very little is finally being made of that. So, today's the start. Today's when the players start meeting with the media again. So we'll see if it happens to come up in any interviews or discussions this week as the Packers begin their preparation for the Minnesota Vikings this upcoming Sunday. What do we got? A 3:15 game, if I'm correct, a Sunday afternoon game in Minneapolis at the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome in Minnesota. So Packers got to go on the road this week. Last game before a bye, and then they get a week off before they begin basically the second half of the season. So Packers looking to go 7-0 this week, and they're already the last undefeated team in the NFL, the lone undefeated team. And I sit here and I wonder how long can this continue. I mean, there's not a doubt in my mind that the Packers are going to win this week, straight up at least. Can it continue? The game coming back from the bye, the very next game, they have to go to San Diego, right? And isn't that perfect timing? It's just always nice when, you know, there's when you have a long road trip, and, you know, San Diego's about as far as a trip as it gets for the Green Bay Packers, to all the way to the West Coast and south in the West Coast, that, you know, it's coming off a week in which they've had time off. So I think that's nice for the Packers, and whether it be the reverse as well, where they have a long road trip and they get a bye after that. I mean, that's not happening this year, but anyhow, I just think the schedule happened to work out very nicely for the Packers this year, and just in terms of where the bye fell, kind of almost in the middle of the season, and also that they're playing San Diego, a far road trip, right after the bye. Jamie George points out on our live blog here. And then they have a Monday game after. Yeah, so after that, they kind of get another day of preparation after a long road trip all the way to San Diego, come back for a Monday night game against the Minnesota Vikings. So they play the Minnesota Vikings in two out of their next three games. So, going to be preparing for the Vikings a lot in the next few weeks here, albeit there's a bye week in between. But yeah, two out of the next three games, they play the NFC North division rival Minnesota Vikings. Anyway, folks, thank you so much for joining us here on Railbird Central once again, as always, airing on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays here at CheeseheadTV.com. Have a fantastic week, everyone. Make sure to stop by and watch our coverage of Packers news all week long at CheeseheadTV.com on our blog. And Have a good week, everyone. Go Pack Go. I'll leave you with a song called Nothing Too Fancy by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya.